Someone took my marbles.
I've got nothing to do with any of it.
Tiptoeing through a minefield of insanity.
I've got a domestic violence collage outside my office.
But everybody needs love. And they just throw it on.
You had 22 drunken guys. Which isn't bad, I guess. Gotta expect one guy at least to get sick.
Like, I definitely have to pay attention to it because it's shoved in my face.
I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Morning, I'm here.
It's a little bizarre.
They converted you?
Yeah.
Really? I'm here, you know.
No.
I think I took a course where people talked about anxiety among the Greeks when books were coming in. Basically, that people were going to get lazy.
Absolutely.
Because instead of all this stuff, instead of remembering everything, they were just going to rely on books and look it up in the book.
And that's,
instead of having it all in their head ready to go.
And that's absolutely was correct, by the way, Dougal. Now people don't even know what their phone numbers are because they got phones to remember for them.
Yeah, but you know lots of Simpsons quotes. Yeah, it's the new poetry.
You hear anything?
Yeah, I have no idea. Wow, it's, God, it's making a lot of noise.
Just thinking about the Hobby Lobby decision quite a great deal. Mm. I just feel like the world has gotten so unreal at this point. Artificial entities that aren't only being treated like human beings, but they can have religious points of view as well. What's next? Are they going to get married? Have the right to vote?
So this was the tipping point when things got unreal for Frederick.
Absolutely.
Everything that went before this.
Well, no.
They can already merge.
Everything else that's happened, everything else that's happened in the world recently,
has got
Frederick's thumbs up approval. And now it's tipped into the unreal. All of a sudden. Iraq, no problem. No problem. Afghanistan, no problem. No problem. Hobby Lobby. Look at one.
Well, Fredericks will be buying his felt squares elsewhere, I guess.
That's right.
You have access to a Michaels down there?
Michaels down there?
Yeah.
Bale there you go. Why am I echoing?
I thought Fredericks figured out a way to, like, shop, like, screw it for the...
No, it's not me.
I'll turn my phone. Are we still echoing?
You aren't.
No.
That might have been it.
And that was PC, right?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. So you found a way of screwing with it.
Apparently, yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah, and I turned it right back up and it hasn't started echoing again, so...
Just a computer glitch.
I think so, yeah.
Just like all those IRS letters about the special investigations of conservative groups. You heard about that? She lost all her email. Lerner, the head of the IRS.
She lost her email.
Yeah. Deleted. It's just gone. I think her computer fried.
Well, that sounds suspicious.
I thought so. And if I was a conspiratorial-minded conservative, I'd think it was on purpose. And I wouldn't believe it anyways. Because people's email is everywhere. It's like your DNA. Right. You just drop it everywhere you go.
Right.
But hers is all gone. Anyways, no, Mike, I wasn't happy with everything. It's just this is the latest. Uh-huh. And it's our Supreme Court. They're the ones that are supposed to be the rational part of the whole bunch. But they're unbalanced, seriously unbalanced. And now they think pieces of paper are people. I mean, this is like, this is weirder than any movie I ever saw.
No, it's consistency, because, you know, Congress really represents corporations. You know, clearly the president represents corporations. Now, let's put the guy who ran Monsanto into running a Department of Environmental Protection, or was it? And now the Supreme Court also in the back pocket.
Well, no, I know. Let's take a guy from Wall Street and put him in charge of the financial oversight committee.
Is Mike on underwater or something?
No, he's on the pallet.
Oh, on the pallet.
Yeah, he'll be up.
I might as well be underwater. I mean, I'll be drifting in and...
Stan, you rinsing your strawberry?
There's a little breeze up here that I don't think... And I don't like them blowing on me here for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Feel good on my skin or my whatever.
Well, it must be mostly your skin.
Blown against my body, you know, like just against me.
Oh. I guess he was just hoping it wasn't like your exposed flesh that it was
blowing
against, which at least fresh.
In a lot of cases, more than you'd care to see, but yeah, it's true.
I'm going to see if I can find this photo and get this, show you guys a photo. Speaking of exposed flesh, but go on, I'm going to look for it.
Well, can't wait to see that.
Yeah. Well, it's something that I came across a few times recently.
Oh, and I meant...
He was like immobile. I'm like, oh no, what do I got to do with this guy now, you know? And I'm like, hey, can you get up and leave? Are you going to be all right? Do I have to call a cab? What's going on, you know? And finally, yeah, he made it out. He was able to get vertical and get out of the bar, which was... That's all I needed, you know. Once he was out of the bar, he wasn't my responsibility anymore. But he wasn't driving. I mean, he did live down the block. He didn't get into a car or anything. I knew that. But then, yeah, it's just crazier at night. I mean, so fortunately, I didn't have a hard time getting people out at 3 o'clock. And then, you know, it takes me about an hour to restock and clean up and stuff. So it's like 4 in the morning, and then somebody starts pounding on the door. You know, I got the door locked. I'm like, oh shit, what's this, you know? So I take a look, a couple guys, I don't know, a couple Mexican guys, and, you know, obviously they want to get a six pack or something, you know? And I'm like telling them, you know, it's closed, you know? It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to open up for you, you know?
I don't know how to say closed in Spanish.
Yeah, I didn't go for that, you know?
Cerrado.
No mas. I didn't give him a no mas, you know? And the one guy's jumping up, and you know, at that point, you know, we've got curtains drawn over the front windows. But on the side, we got this little window, you know, that doesn't have curtains on it. And you see the one guy, he's still, like, jumping up in front of it, you know, trying to get my attention. I'm like, what the fuck is this, you know? And I was just getting ready to leave. I was literally just about to walk out the door before these guys started pounding on it. And then, I'm like, well, I'm not going to walk right out into these guys. You know, I don't know how drunk they are, how badly they wanted a six-pack, you know? Maybe they're going to get angry.
Well, you know how badly they wanted one.
Yeah.
Should have brought one with you.
So then I had to, like, sort of wait it out for a while, and I'm looking out the window to make sure they're not still hanging out in front, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then finally I went outside, and then I think I saw them across the street, sitting in front of there's a school across the street. I'm like, oh, shit, you know, are they going to get up and approach me? But they didn't. But it's just, yeah, nighttime is just, the vibe is not, like, as friendly, you know? It's just a stranger vibe, because people come in with a foreign load on. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to deal with that, and it's just different. I mean, I made a fair amount of money, so it was a good night, but.
Right, and then you had to open at 9 the next morning, right?
Yeah, no, I made it. You know.
So you only got like 4 hours sleep, though. But...
Yeah, not even 4 hours. Mm-hmm. But I did all right. You know, I mean, I was dragging, and actually, it just shows how badly out of shape I am. My feet were hurting, and. you know, stiff just from, you know, the minimal the minimal amount of physical exertion you have to do as a bartender. But I'm glad I don't do it every weekend, that's for sure.
And how did the guy's trip go?
Oh yeah, that's they all had a good. Actually, some of them ended up at the bar. They were back in town by, you know, by before midnight. They thought they were gonna get home around midnight. It wasn't even midnight when they got there. So like three of the guys came into the bar. They were all loaded, you know. They had a good time, you know. They had some adventures. One guy almost got into a fight with a woman. You know, another woman knocked a drink into this other woman, and it was somehow the guy's fault, you know. So they had like a little standoff between this. It was apparently in some big bar, Inner Harbor, I think it's called, down in Baltimore. I've never been there. But I guess it's all bars and restaurants and stuff. But fisticuffs didn't ensue, so everybody got home safely. One guy puked on the bus, which isn't bad, I guess. You had 22 drunken guys. Gotta expect one guy at least to get sick.
I'm sorry, what was the destination again? I can't remember from last week.
I went to the Baltimore to see
the Grateful Dead.
But, you know, they gave themselves a lot of time to hang out in the Inner Harbor or whatever it is there.
But you said they drank all the way down, too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know, these guys are champion. They're champion drinkers. I mean, these guys, this is the morning crowd, you know?
So 20 beers in a day is not...
Oh, yeah. No, that's what they do. That's their pace, you know? I said it on Facebook that their mantra.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
But that's what they do.
They're functioning. I'm sorry, what's that?
No, I was just looking at the logic.
Oh, are they functioning in a sense, or are they just like they all have jobs and just?
Some of them have jobs. I mean, some of the morning guys do. You know, they are getting off from night shifts and stuff.
Okay.
So with their post work, you know, drinking, you know, which I understand that. I mean, that's, you know, they're on different time schedules, so, you know, lots of guys like to have a drink after work. So, you know, there's those guys. There's the they're guys who just, you know, they're not working. You know, they're either on disability. A lot of these guys are on disability. You know, it is kind of a little bit of a racket I've noticed in Bayonne. So many people like my age and a little older, they, you know, not to say that they don't have real disabilities, but I just, it's like
they're
a trend.
In a little bit.
You know, I mean, I a lot of these guys were working guys and, you know, they put stresses on their body that obviously I didn't do, you know, working in offices all my life. But, you know, a lot of these guys are on disability or retired. So, you know, some of them are like, there's a retired cop, you know, and he's drinking every day. But he actually has like another gig where he sits in a bank and he's their security. He gets a load on at Masses and then he goes sit in a bank and he's their security.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. But, you know, one guy's a roofer. This guy Chico, I like him a lot. He's like a real loud guy, but he's funny. You know, he's always joking around. I mean, he's working regularly. You know, whether he's up on a roof after he, you know, had a few beers, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that he does do that once in a while. More than once in a while.
Somebody have their folder open?
No, I'm sorry, that was me.
Oh, okay.
What did you ask me if I asked?
Your folder open.
I was I'm going through old magazines.
That's what it sounded like. You're going through your thing.
I'm looking for a picture of
the Grateful Dead. Which the trend in
here we go.
Every episode of the chat lately. And
welcome back.
Well, and I was reading how Tom Constantine had come from a very avant-garde classical background.
The Grateful Dead.
Him and Phil Lesh brought that element to the Dead. And then, like, Pigpen and Bob Weir were just kind of like, you know, blues.
Dirtbags?
Dirtbags.
Sorry.
You know what you would love, Fredericks?
What's that?
During the 74 tour, Phil Lesh got to do his own little musical experimentation during the intermission.
You're right, I probably would like that.
And they called it Sea Stones. To me, it's unlistenable. I mean, I think they put one on, I think, one of the Dick's Picks, and it's tough to listen to. But I'm sure you can, you know, just do a search for Sea Stones, Grateful Dead.
All right.
And you'll find links to all of that crap.
Wasn't there a brief thing of him making weird noises in the Grateful Dead movie?
Well, yeah, I mean...
I seem to recall that.
But it wasn't too prominent in 74. You know, I mean, aside from the Sea Stones thing, you know, they hadn't, you know, the space and all that stuff would come like 78 and onward. You know, that's when I departed. That was also one of the reasons I departed. You know, Brent Mindelin and then all the extended drum solos. I was not a fan of that, you know.
Wow, so they just made a wrong turn as far as you're concerned.
Well, I mean, I think for the people on drugs, it was a good time, you know, but
right.
I was not sufficiently fortified for those parts of the shows.
So that's when you were part of the 1%, I guess. At a Dead show, anyway.
Yeah.
But so you're not interested at all in people like Bela Bartok or Karlheinz Stockhaus?
No, I've listened to some of that stuff. Okay. I actually took a classical music course, and you know, I had to listen to some of that stuff, and you know, some of it is good. Bela Bartok, you know, I kind of liked. I even went to, you know, I had to go to a concert, and I think they did one of his
pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You know, I mean, I don't gravitate to it.
Well, and it doesn't mean just because Lesh knows about that stuff and studied it doesn't mean he does it well either. So.
And even pre 78, sometimes, you know, they would get pretty far out there, you know, with their Dark Star and particular songs, you know, and some of those can get, you know, pretty dissonant at times, you know.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like, they weren't doing that from the get-go. They did, but it just became more pronounced, and then it became like, you know, it had to be there, and that's when I got off the bus, as they say.
Going back to the Kennedy thing again. I heard Noam Chomsky make a reference about it, saying that RFK was running a terrorist war against Cuba, which seemed a little bit different than what we had thought. Because don't you think the mob would have liked that?
Say it again.
Robert F. Kennedy,
one would think,
was running a terrorist war against Cuba. And that's why he was killed. I lumped it together with JFK's killing, but this seems like for a different reason.
Okay.
So we may have to do some homework before we discuss that anymore.
But there's a little breeze up here that I don't like.
It's strange, you know? I mean, I've never been in such a controlled environment, you know?
Well, I'm liking it, though. I mean, I'm seeing a script emerging here.
A script or a nervous breakdown?
Well, we can have it go different ways, or do it like a Brunel movie.
Well, there,
and then have you dream.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I think Caine Mutiny was sort of like this, right? Wasn't Humphrey Bogart a bit of a, you know, obsessive?
I've never guessed.
How do you report to this?
What was that last question?
Mike, how many of you report to this woman?
Oh, it's just me and the retired school teacher.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
You could do it like a play. You wouldn't even need a big set or anything. You could have it in a little
very
room.
Close contact, you know. And then in the afternoon, I mean, it's just me and her, because you know all the part timers are done like 1:30, and then after 1:30, there's only like four people in the office.
Yeah, I had a manager, or actually, she became my manager. I met her. I just started work at a. It was at on a government contract, and my coworkers were basically a fun bunch. But they used to like they'd have parties and they had a barbecue and they liked to steal. This guy had a sock monkey, so they would take his sock monkey, and then they would tie it. They'd kidnap it. They'd tie it to a tree. They'd put it in it, and they'd take photos of it. And so this woman comes by and introduces herself to me, Betty. And someone has put up a picture of a sock monkey on a barbecue grill. And then she walks away and then sends an email to me and to the human resources people saying that I've got a domestic violence collage outside my office. I was just sitting there going, I don't know, I've got nothing to do with any of it. But I'm having my job threatened. It was completely crazy, but it was a similar sort of thing.
And corporations can have religious beliefs too. Just add that to the list of unbelievable. Anyways, just back to this for one final thing, which it probably won't really be, but we'll try and make it that. Is the whole idea, supposedly, what I think they're really doing is trying to undermine following the Affordable Care Act, in essence. This is just setting legal precedent. Really, about abortion, would they be doing business with China? If they had religious,
reservations about abortion?
Yeah, if you have a niche you can appeal to, you're in good shape. But if you're trying to sort of be general and please everybody, you just make everybody mad. Easy Rider keeps going.
You still have cat fancy, from what I saw.
Yeah.
Well, I remember seeing one years ago that was called Bride Again, and it was like a magazine devoted to second marriage.
It's better the second time around.
It was basically like, here's how you incorporate your unwanted or your like kind of pesky child in your past into your second wedding.
I saw Ayn Rand wrote a letter to Cat Fancy magazine in 1967 praising it. And I'm not joking. She actually said it was objectively the greatest magazine. I'm not so stupid.
Well, yeah, because of the shooting.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, that really bugs people. Do they use landmines in their wars? Probably not.
Well, one would think not. In a civil war, you usually don't want to put landmines in your own.
Because you're going to have to live there.
Exactly.
If you win. Or maybe if you lose, do you? I still have to live there.
You're fucked, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Other than that, not much going on. I'd like to say there's more interesting stuff on international news, but even the BBC and Euronews, they just follow the World Cup constantly.
I did read some corny article about that, but that it was something about that we should be grateful that they're now competing on the fields of sport as opposed to the fields of battle, and because there's actually some people that now just pick favorite teams by how they're playing as opposed to what country they're from. Although
I don't know about that.
That's horribly wrong. Everybody should be xenophobic. Feel all borders.
Well, that's what our buddy Sweeney said. He said it was your sports team is like a religion. You know, and I said, well, even if your favorite players go to another team, he said, yeah, you got to stay with your team. It's sports teams and religion or something like that. You just don't change those things.
Well, I've bailed on Catholicism, but not the Mets. So there's that.
All right, well.
So Flyers. Cormod?
I got a small update to my good news the other week.
Yes?
Yeah. I'm going to be going to University of Buffalo Law School because I got accepted there now. So.
All right.
That was my first choice. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
And Donald Sterling still owns the Lakers?
He's still hanging in there.
We're kicking.
Hey.
Mike survived his Iron Man competition?
Mike seems to be barely surviving that job.
Oh, I know. This is crazy. I'm telling you, I saw a movie and it was very, I mean, it was a sitcom and it was really cheap. You know, it was almost like a Sanford and Sons, not the setting, but that. You can use that same set for just about everything. Mm. And you know how some of those Hitchcock movies were more like, they almost seemed like plays that were filmed in a way?
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking, and I saw Mike, and you know, you'd never see him out of the office. You only saw him when he'd come in and out and like go to lunch and stuff like that and come back, and he spent too long at the Muscle Maker Grill, and he has to ask permission so that he can eat at his desk, you know.
Yeah, work is, I guess in a weird way, nothing but a drag. I have a lot of awful personalities where I work, too, and it's, when Mike was talking about that earlier, I could relate to it. Not to the extreme that he might have been going through at the moment, but just every work day for me is just like tiptoeing through a minefield of insanity.
Hey, that might be the name of this podcast.
Right, yeah. I'm going to overrule Mike's recommendation. I think color. That if you want to see another movie by that director, I wouldn't go the discreet charm of the bourgeoisie.
That's the one I saw. That was good.
Yeah.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing? Sorry, I'm trying to figure out Skype again.
That's all right. Yeah, and we're usually winding up about now, but we're still here, and you're welcome to hang around for a little bit.
Thank you.
And it seems like you figured out Skype.
Yeah.
And you even knew to send me a message and stuff. That was smart.
That I know how to do. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Splendid.
Better than Mike.
What happened with Mike?
Hey, look, there's Cormod.
Oh. Hey, how's it going?
No, he worked himself, you know, he worked ridiculous hours this weekend, and his boss is at least as controlling as ever, if not taking it to the next level. Going through the stuff on his desk and leaving notes on it.
That sounds like my previous job. Wow.
Man. And I guess there's a retired school teacher that works part-time there, and she rips into her real bad, too. And when he first told us, he said that there was like 52 steps to putting together their four-page newsletter. Now he says there's more than 60. And he has to get each step signed off by people.
Wow. That's I worked in Borough Park for a couple of years, which is a big Hasidic neighborhood, and I worked for a Hasidic company for a while, and everything was pretty bureaucratic. And then at the end of it, they'd remind me that I believe in a false god or whatever, which is kind of fun.
Just for fun?
Death for fun. They'd tell me that whatever my religious beliefs are, they're wrong. While asking me to go through whatever tedious editorial process after tedious editorial process.
So I take it you're from the Northeast?
I'm in Park Slope in Brooklyn.
Okay. And you know what a mezuzah is?
My girlfriend built my grandparents one, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Hear that, Cormod?
Yeah, it's cool.
And I had an aunt. She for a bunch of times in the 70s and the 80s, and I think the early 80s, she followed the dead around, and then all of a sudden, like a few years later, she ended up being she's ultra orthodox in Israel, and she just came here with a little scroll that you put in the mezuzah. And we got, for my grandparents, a tie-dyed mezuzah and put it in their home.
In honor of the Grateful Dead?
Sorta. It was kind of a joke on her, how she, like, you know, dropped acid every day and followed the dead. And now she's, like, got 7 kids and living in, like, the West Bank or whatever.
Jews for Jerry. Woo!
Well, and we didn't even have to ask you to mention the Grateful Dead. That's great.
Yeah.
Well done.
It boosts my episode hits. If I put Grateful Dead in the tags, skyrockets.
Yeah, I saw you put Grateful Dead like 3 times in the last description.
Wait, this is archived?
Well, yeah. Sort of. Parts of it are. Mm-hmm. I run it through my mix. My garage band, and I edit it and manipulate it, and then I put it over on Frederick's Mind Thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes out all the good parts, so.
But it's much shorter, you know. It'll be like maybe generally, like I've got them down about a half hour, 40 minutes out of 2 and sometimes 2.5, 3 hour conversations. So there's lots missing. So it's best, I think, to get it originally.
Right on.
It makes it more fun. Then you'll understand what I did with it. But yeah, there's a bunch of them over there. 20 of them.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Also, I realized today that I could see Bayonne from, if I walk out and I cross the street, which is about 10, 15 feet or whatever, I could see Bayonne from the water. Like, I always wondered what town I was looking at from, like, across the river or whatever, and I just looked at the map, I'm like, oh, that's Bayonne. That's kind of funny.
That's beautiful. I wish Mike was here for that.
Yeah, Scott, who are you? You're just somebody who came in here?
Yeah.
It seems like you should have come at 9. Yeah, you seem like you have a lot of
2 hours.
Well, contributions.
I
called a couple of times and the best show was on. I got hung up on pretty much immediately. I've been listening to the show. I listened to the show for better part of a decade. Every like Tuesday for the I guess the past 20 Tuesdays I've tried to like get on here at 9 and then I completely forget it existed until like just now. I was like, oh yeah, okay.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Yeah, he's already, mentioning the Grateful Dead, so we've got him. Well, yeah. He's a good addition.
I don't actually know anything about the Grateful Dead.
It doesn't matter, as long as it goes in the
You just gotta say it.
I know my aunt followed them around for a while, and the only album I've ever listened to all the way through is either a Greatest Hits album or Dylan and the Dead. So,
Oh, yeah, and that Greatest Hits isn't really very great. The Skeletons in the Closet one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I don't know why I bought that.
My dad had it.
I knew it was bad when I bought it, though. But I had gotten more open-minded to the Dead, and I said, well, you know those songs you hated before, maybe they're all right. So, yeah, I still
like it. How recently did you buy it, Frederick?
Whoa. 17 years ago?
Relax. Don't get yourself. Just pump the brakes on that a little bit. You're fine.
But it's just that I knew it wasn't that good, and I just got caught up in some sort of weird mania. And I said,
consumerism, Fredericks. Even you.
I know. That's why I gotta get farther away from it.
Stay in the tent, Fredericks. Stay in the tent.
It's a fort, and I call it a fort for a reason. They're tougher than tents. At least in my mind, they are. Scott doesn't know anything that we're talking about.
I don't. I was introduced to the dead by watching MTV when I was in 1992, and I saw what's the song "I Will Get By"
in A Touch of Grey. It's, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where they turn to skeletons on the stage.
Yeah.
That's my.
They've begun to do that in real life as well. So.
I got free tickets to Further once, and I never went because I had work. But
so fortunate that you passed on that.
Why, did you go to one of those?
Oh, I know better. I saw the actual Grateful Dead. Like, that's bad enough. I want to see, like, no, that's just, don't go there. Don't do that. Subject yourself.
I thought they were bringing in some hotshot guitar player or something. No, I know. Without Garcia, it's really a diminished product from what it already was diminished.
In all fairness, and I can say this candidly because Mike isn't here to argue with me, Jerry Garcia was a terrible guitar player. I mean, just,
you know,
just because he sounds like
you gotta do
space,
things differently when just, you're working just, with women.
It's
yeah,
not
you know.
Good. I mean, and I like avant-garde guitar playing. I like Sonny Chirac. Or,
yeah, speaking of which, I was listening to him today.
There you go. Yeah. But, you know, come on. It's just noodling. He just noodles. It's annoying.
Well, you know, I did notice, I was listening to, I think, Pale Blue Eyes by the Velvet Underground. And, you know, Lou is just sort of doing these loose fills in there, and he said, man, that sounds an awful lot like Jerry Garcia. You know, like playing a mellow song. And I was surprised. But then, you know, I didn't remember that the Velvets used to play really long sets and stuff and stretch songs out and experiment with a lot of noise and things. And it's just funny how you get farther away from things and then things that seem so different, you know, begin to seem more and more of a time and sometimes even of a piece, you know? I think the Velvets had better songwriting in general, though, and they didn't stay around as long.
Yeah, exactly. They did their thing in a couple of years. I mean, and they were a much more hard rock band, which I think will always give you, you know, a little bit more credibility.
Yeah, you keep mentioning that. Like, you asked Mike, you said, the Dead were never a hard rock band, were they?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a major part to do with it. You know, it's like, and they didn't have a guitar hero either, right? Like, they didn't have some dude who could just show up.
You know, that Jerry was like the franchise.
Yeah,
and I don't know, he's worshipped by his fans, but in the guitar playing world, he has more detractors, I think, than fans.
I don't like
him. Yeah, no, and I agree with Stan. No, and the things that I end up liking about the Grateful Dead is rarely Jerry's guitars. It's just that they've got some neat bridges and stuff like that, you know? Yeah, like you talked about, and then they'll have a good coda on, like, Sugar Magnolia and stuff. They keep things...
No, the little bit I know of them, which is like those two albums, I do enjoy.
I endorse it.
Yeah, they're this good.
But anyways, all right, gentlemen, we're all ready to hit it. It was nice to meet you, Scott.
Nice to meet you as well.
9 o'clock is better. I'll put you on my list now for my when I call out. If you're not there, it's no big deal.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, everyone.
Yep.
Yeah, nice meeting you, Scott.
Nice meeting you.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, good night, all.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. 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 B